Let's open our Bibles, please, this morning in the book of 2 Chronicles in the chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles and the 7th chapter, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible truth, even as we meet together in the house of the Lord. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how that the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David, and to Solomon, and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the root out of my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth it by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord thus done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he, God, brought all this evil upon them. God will add his blessing to the reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious and thine infallible word. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt take the word that we would speak, and that thou wilt prosper it to the hearts of those that gather in thy house. Lord, just bless us this day. Help us to meditate upon thy word. Help us, our God, to know the guidance and the leading of thy Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen. Last Lord's Day, as we're looking in the sixth chapter of the book of Second Chronicles, we noticed how that as Solomon had built the temple for the Lord, he sought the face of God in prayer. We said that he, first of all, in his prayer, he looked back and recalled that God had chosen him to build the temple for the Lord. He looked up and asked God to fulfill the covenant promises that he had made with David, his father, and he took hold by faith of those promises. He then looked ahead, and he asked God to help Israel in the days of trial, in the days of trouble, if they would lift their eyes and turn them toward the temple and turn them towards the Lord, that God would hear and that God would answer prayer. He looked around and he thought about this repentant stranger, and he had a heart for others. And then he looked within, and he asked God to forgive their sin. And he realized that God's children, they would sin against the Lord, for there is no man which sinneth not. And we looked last Lord's Day in the closing moments, and we saw how that even as we come to pray, that it is essential and necessary for us to remember those things, and that God would give us a heart of prayer. And then we come to chapter 7, and it says in verse number 1, and when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. And I want you to notice, first of all, just some of the things that happened whenever Solomon had made an end of praying and seeking the face of God. The first thing that the Holy Ghost records here is that the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now notice where the fire came from. This was not the fire that came up. It says the fire came down from heaven. In other words, this was God answering by fire. You'll notice in several passages of God's word how that God answered by fire in days that were past. For example, if you turn back, keep your hand there, turn back to 1 Kings and chapter 18. And there we find in that chapter, it is the great challenge of Carmel and the prophets of Baal. And we find that as Elijah the prophet cried unto God, and how that he could mock the prophets of Baal because they had sought for the fire to burn up the sacrifice, but no fire came. But in 1 Kings chapter 18, in verse 30, it says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" In other words, when the fire came, it was a sign of Elijah's acceptance, and his prayer was accepted by God. Here once again in this passage of God's Word in 2 Chronicles, we find that the fire of God came. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we also read there, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and the verse number 26, it says, "And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offering and peace offering, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering, and the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up a sword again into the sheath thereof." And so we see in these different passages of God's Word, whether it be Elijah, whether it was in the day of Gideon, whether it was in the day here of David, or in this passage of 2 Chronicles 7, we find that God sent the fire. It was a fire that consumed the sacrifices. But praise God, it didn't consume those that sacrificed. It didn't consume those that offered. It was God's display of acceptance. But notice, as I said, it didn't consume those that sacrificed, because not only was the fire that fell and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices an acknowledgement of acceptance, it was also an acknowledgement of mercy. God did not consume those that offered, for God was merciful. Thank God, we today that are saved, we have the privilege of being accepted in the Beloved. You and I today can come right into the presence of God. You know, you and I don't need to fear coming into God's presence today. A righteous, a holy, a sovereign, an almighty God. And yet you and I, sinful mankind, have been redeemed by precious blood. And God invites us to come nigh to Him, to the throne of grace. And there we shall obtain mercy, and we'll find grace to help in the time of need. The fire fell from heaven. Oh, that today the fire of God would fall, and that God would consume the burnt offerings and the sacrifice of our hearts. You know, whenever we think of the fire, we think of what fire does. The fire, first of all, consumes. And friends, the fire needs to come and fall upon our hearts. Because in every one of our hearts this morning, there are things that need to be burnt up. There's some things in our hearts today that the fire of God needs to consume. The sinful things. The things that hinder the blessing in our lives. The things that separate between us and the fellowship that we ought to have with God. And the fire of God needs to fall today. And oh, that we would cry, "Oh God, would you consume the sinful things of my heart? The things that would hinder the blessing in my soul. The things that brings dysfunctional living in my own life. Instead of living in the light of God's Word and in liberty and in power." You know, we were singing this morning, "He abides, He abides. I'm as happy, I'm as free as a bird." Friend, let me tell you, there are children of God today, and they ought to be as free as a bird, and yet there are things in their lives that are hindering them in their walk with God, and those things need to be consumed on the altar of God, that need to be burnt up, the unnecessary things that hinder in our lives enjoying the full blessing of God. Something else the fire does, not only consume, but the fire purifies. You know, the Bible tells us often how that the goldsmith would take the gold and put it into the crucible. And then he put the silver into the crucible. And then he would put the heat under it and the fire would burn there. And the purpose of that burning flame was this, friend, was to take away the dross, was to take away the uncleanness out of the silver and make it pure, or out of the gold and make it pure. And they would take away the scum that would come to the surface because it was impurities. And do you know how he found the impurities? It was through the fire. It was through the fire. And friends, is God not, even when God puts the fire onto our own lives and situations come into our own hearts, does God not reveal the impurities? Does God not reveal the dross that's in our own hearts, in our own lives? And the fire purifies. It makes us clean. It makes us holy before God. And I know the fire is not an easy thing to suffer. But I tell you, our lives need to be purified. Our hearts need to be made holy. For God's word says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. Surely there ought to be a desire in the hearts of God's people to be as holy as a saved soul can be this side of heaven. You know, we'll not be completely clean or completely pure, because every one of us acknowledge the closer we get to the Lord, friend. Instead of saying, now I'm completely clean, we understand and we see the impurities in our hearts. And we want rid of them. We want to let go of them. We want God to burn them up. We want God to make us pure and holy and clean in His sight. And the fire does that. Of course, fire does something else. Fire cheers. There's nothing will cheer you better when you come in from maybe a real cold night and you walk into the house and you see the big fire burning there in the logs, and my, it cheers you up, because somehow there's a cheering aspect of the fire. And is it not true that we need the fire of God to cheer us today? Is it not true that many of God's people are cold in heart? Is it not true that many of God's people are despondent in heart? Is it not true that the world, friend, as we have rubbed shoulders with the world, and as we look at our lives, at times we're discouraged by what we see in our own hearts? And the old devil would try to bring us into despair and say, listen, there's no use you going on any further, because you're going to be no better than when you are. We need the fire of God to cheer us today. We need the fire of God to fall upon our hearts and bring us the cheer of victory. For thank God we can sing unto Him, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And if there's a child of God in God's house this morning, and my, in your life, friend, this week has been a week of defeat. This week has been a week of discouragement. Maybe something has come across your path, and to be honest, you're despondent today. Maybe you're downcast. Maybe you don't know what the next step is. Oh, that the fire of God would come into your very soul today, and that the fire of God would cheer your heart and remind you that there's blessed victory in Jesus Christ. From victory unto victory, His army He shall lead. He wants you to be an overcomer, overcoming despair, overcoming discouragement, overcoming despondency. Oh, today that you might be an overcomer. Maybe there's a young person in God's house today and it's been a tough week. Maybe your heart's been cold, friend. Well, if your heart's cold, I'll tell you then what you need is the fire of God. Because the only thing that'll warm your heart or cheer your heart again, it's the fire of God falling. Of course, the fire not only purifies and consumes and cheers, the fire warms. The fire warms. And you know, it's a wonderful experience to experience the warmth of God in your soul. You know, whenever the Lord is so close and the Lord is so near, when the fire of God falls in your heart and really you enjoy the fellowship of God's people, you enjoy the fellowship of the blessed God, Godhead, and the blessed Holy Spirit as He draws near and abides in you and abides with you. And the fire warms your heart. Is your heart cold today? Be honest before God, friend. Do you need the warmth of the Spirit of God, fire to fall? Do you need that purifying work of God in your soul? We all do. Do you need that consuming work, burning up the old sinful, rotten, polluting things in our hearts? Do we need the cheering fire of God? Fire, I suggest, does something else, softens. You know, maybe the fire melts. Friend, we need our hearts melted. There's a rebellion in our hearts today, and we need that rebellion taken away, that old nature. And my, that old nature, boy said one time, if anybody said that the old nature's dead, well, he's a very lively corpse, because he gives me a lot of trouble. Friend, we need the fire of God to soften our hearts, to melt us, to take away the rebellion of our soul. I read, you know, when I was meditating upon the subject, I read, we fail to get up much steam in our endeavors for God because we have not enough fire under the boilers. And friend, to tell you the truth, there's a lot of God's people, there's not much fire in the boiler. There's not much fire in their soul, there's not much steam in their hearts, they're not going very far with God, friend. I ask a question, is there a fire of God in your soul today? You know, we sing the hymn, Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Thy blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire. Look down and see this waiting host. Give us the promised Holy Ghost. We want another Pentecost. Oh God, send the fire. God of Elijah, hear our cry. Send the fire. Oh, make us fit to live or die. Send the fire. To burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and glory, and the revolution now begin. Oh God, send the fire. Is that what we're looking for today? The fire of God to fall? I think about the second chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Remember the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, friend, the fire was seen, not consuming the sacrifice, the animal sacrifice in the temple. But the fire of God was seen upon the believers. Surely we need God to move in our hearts and send the fire of God into our soul. Child of God, are you not tired of dead religion? Are you not tired of dead preaching and dead praying and dead singing and dead services? Tell me, how do we get rid of them? What's the answer to the deadness of our hearts? The answer is, then the fire of God fell, because the fire of God warms, takes away the cold meetings. The fire of God falls and warms our hearts and melts our hearts and cheers our hearts and purifies our hearts and consumes the sin in our heart. Surely we can say, oh God, please, I need the fire. And as Solomon came to an end of praying, it says this, then the fire fell. And you and I need to pray for that. We need to pray that God will send the fire of God into our soul. You know, some people have fireplaces in their houses. And to be honest, friend, to be honest, they're only substitutes. Because you see, there is nothing like the old open fireplace. They say there's a therapy there, just to hear the crackling of the fire, the cheery flame, But friends, many, many homes today, be honest, the open fireplace is gone. And we have replaced them with fictitious fireplaces. But in reality, there's no fire. There's no fire. Yes, there is this flame that's there, but there's no fire. And what have we there for in this place? We have got a substitute. We could say a cheap substitute, maybe not so cheap after all, but friend, listen, it's an imitation. And you know, some people of God, they're satisfied with the imitation. They're satisfied enough just with the imitation and with a substitute. But friend, to be honest, from that flame and from that cheap substitute of itself, there is no heat. We've lost the fire. Also read this week, there is nothing more pathetic than a drowsy and lethargic church. When the church loses its ardor for Christ, it ceases to be an organism and merely becomes an organization. Lacking spiritual strength to operate as a true church of God, it will then rely upon mechanics and machinery. but it has lost the fire. You know, we can go through services Sunday by Sunday, friend. We can go through the motions. And some of God's, even God's children, they go through the motions. And then be honest, they've lost the fire. They've lost the zeal. There's not the excitement about the work of God anymore. There's not the love for the work of God on the hill anymore. They just lost. They're drowsy. They're lethargic. They're dead. They're cold. Oh God, spare you and me from such a situation. You know, when revival comes, then the fire will fall. Then when the fire falls, our hearts will be different. You see, it says here that the fire came and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Let me tell you, friend, you and I are to be living sacrifices. And we need to be consumed. Our selfishness, our sinfulness, our own efforts, we need them consumed on the altar. And say, Lord, burn them up. Lord, send the fire. But notice what happened when the fire came, or when the fire fell. It says this in verse 1. Not only the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and it says this, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. You see, after Solomon prayed, friend, the fire fell. And when the fire fell, then the glory of the Lord filled house. You see, the fire came down to devour, but the glory of the Lord came down to dwell. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, this is not the first reference to the glory of the Lord. Go back to chapter 5 of 2 Chronicles. In the 5th chapter, look at verse number 14, and it says this, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The glory of the Lord. This is at the start of the service. The glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Let me give you the picture here. Solomon raised this beautiful temple. And then, after raising the beautiful temple, friend, it was empty. Without God's throne, until God's throne was put in place. And when the Lord was present, then it says, the glory of the Lord filled the house. You see, it's the presence of the Lord, friend, that makes the feast. We could have a building here. And there are multitudes of buildings like this where people are meeting today. But let me tell you, if the Lord is not present, friend, if the Lord is not there, then it's just a building. It's the Lord's presence that makes this the house of God. It's not a name over the door. It's not just because people are meeting together. There are many houses of worship today and people are meeting together, friend. But the Lord is not there. The Lord's name has not been uplifted. The Lord Jesus Christ is not being exalted. And we find that until this moment came, there was a building, but there was no glory there. But notice it says here in chapter 7 that when Solomon had made an end of praying and the fire of God came down, then the glory of the Lord filled the house. And without the fire, there was no glory. Many of us in our lives, be honest before God, friend, we want the fire. Or we want the glory, rather. But we resist the fire. Because you see, the fire will do all the work that I spoke about and much more. And we don't want at times to let go of things in our lives, because things that we love, things that we're satisfied with, things that we want to hold on to. But the fire of God, when it comes into our hearts and it burns and consumes our hearts, then it'll burn up those things. But you know, the glory of the Lord can't fill the house until the Lord has his way. The Lord cannot fill dirty vessels. The Lord wants to fill the empty vessels. emptied of everything that hinders, everything of self. And the Lord wants to take over. In fact, God's glory was so manifest here, look at verse number 2, that the very priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And friend, I believe with all my heart when revival comes, and when God sends us a gracious movement of His Holy Spirit, I'll tell you, God will put everyone else, and God will put everything else into the background. Because even the very priests, they could not minister in the house of the Lord because the focus was not upon them. The center of attraction was not upon the priests, but the center of attraction was upon the Lord of glory. It is very easy for us to get caught up with man and get our eyes of God. And friend, every one of us in certain ways in our lives, we get distracted at times. But God removed all the distractions here because God's glory just took over. It was a visitation of God Himself, friend. God filled the house. My earnest prayer is this, that God will absolutely and completely take over this house, friend, and the glory of God will so fill this house that man will be put into the background. That we want to see nobody but Jesus only. We would see Jesus. That's what they said when they came. They said, sirs, we would see Jesus. And when you've come to God's house today, I wonder, why did you come? I wonder deep in your hearts, why did you come this morning? Did you come for God to deal with your heart? Did you come to meet with the Lord? Did you come with that expectant soul to say, oh God, beyond anybody else, I don't care who else is there. I don't care what else is there. Lord, I want you to meet with me in my heart. And God, I want the fire to fall on my soul and the glory of God to touch my heart and Lord, to be consumed with thee. That's exactly what happened. These men, let me tell you, even the very priests, they couldn't even enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord came. You see what's happening here? Fire of God falls. God accepts them and God is merciful to them and God acknowledges that this is my house. This is my house, and because it was his house, friend, the glory of God just took over. The glory of God took over, and God filled the house. God filled the house with his holy presence. What a wonderful thing when God's presence, you know, it's sad when people leave the house of God and cannot sense the very presence of God, that you are in God's presence today. To hear the voice of God, God speaking to you, God challenging your heart and mind. And God reveals His power and God reveals His glory. And friend, everything else, just pushed to the side. What does the hymn writer say? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. See, when you leave God's house today, friend, you should go home just rejoicing that you have met with the Lord today. God has spoken to your heart. But notice what happened very quickly, because notice the fire falls and then the glory of the Lord fills the house. Go to verse 3. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down from heaven, the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Notice what happens. The fire falls, the glory of the Lord comes down and fills the house, and they worship before Him. There's an immediate reverence here. There is an immediate awe of God in this place. They knew that God was here. You know, I don't read here that Solomon directed the people to fall on their faces. Friend, he didn't need to. Because you see, these people realize the children here of Israel, they, when they saw the fire and they knew the glory of the Lord was upon this house, they bowed themselves. This wasn't man instructed. This wasn't get up or get down. Just going as you're instructed. There was no instruction of man here, friend. This was spontaneous worship. They fell on their faces before God. And I honestly believe with all my heart, friend, that when God sends a revival, we will not need any other motivation to be in the mood for worship or to get us into a right relationship with God. When God sends a revival to your soul, friend, let me tell you, you will be ready for prayer. You will be ready to sing. You will be ready to hear the Word of God. You'll be ready to worship. You'll be ready to study His Word. Why? Because you love the Lord. You love Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'll tell you this, friend. You see, whenever our hearts are touched with revival of God and life comes afresh into our soul, you will say with the words of the psalmist, and even as the children of Israel would sing as they would go to the temple, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They loved to go to the house of God. They loved to worship before Him. They loved to bow down before Him. They gladly fell on their face. Why? Because their hearts were broken. Do you know what happens? Whenever a heart is in tune with God, friend, and when a man is in touch with the Lord and God is moving upon that soul, I'll tell you, not only does he fall on his face in reverence before God, but he'll break out in praise. Because it says this, they bowed themselves and their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshipped and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You see, God doesn't turn our lives over to misery. God makes his people joyful. God gives us a joy. If you, you know, the weak children's chorus, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Is that true, friend? Are we just singing a lie? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And these people, let me tell you, not only did they fall on their face before God, friend, that's one of my greatest challenges to the charismatic movement. Because let me tell you, those in the charismatic movement, whenever they are said they are taken over by the Spirit, you notice what happens. I remember as a young person going to a meeting in Belfast one night, I was led astray by others as a young student, and I was asked to go to this particular meeting. I went to the meeting. And friend, to be honest, they said they were so overcome by the Spirit, and they started to speak in tongues. The next thing, they fell on their back. They had to walk and put little cloths, little sheets over the legs of the woman. Let me tell you, my friend, you read the scriptures carefully, and you'll find when a man is in touch with God or God comes a person, they don't fall on their backs. They fall on their faces. They fall on their faces before God. Because a man does reverence to God. Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. You read in the book of the Revelation when they got the glorified Lord, they fell at his feet. Always they fall on their faces. Present charismatic movement, friend, they fall on their backs. The Bible says here, they bowed themselves and their faces to the ground upon the pavement. They reverence the Lord. And I honestly believe that that is something we need to remember again. This is the house of God. And when you come to God's house, friend, you're meeting with the God of glory. It's a place of the meeting of God's people to come to worship God. And we need a reverence in God's house. We need again a holy awe, not the giddiness of the world. It's not a social of the world, friends. Let me tell you, it is a meeting with a sovereign. And we need a reverence in God's house, an awe of God. And they fell on their faces, and they worshipped. And in their worship, they broke out in praise. And they sang praises to the Lord. This wasn't man doing. This friend was spontaneous of heart because they loved the presence of the Lord. With this I'm finished. And then verses 4 and 5. Then the king and all the people offer sacrifices before the Lord. They give gladly to God. They offered upon the altar. It was an evidence of their obedient heart. It was a symbol of their dedication. It was an expression of their thanksgiving. We give our tithes and our offerings to God, friend. And we give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. We do it in obedience, of course, to His word, but we give our tithes and offerings as an expression of our thanks. Our tithes, in actual fact, we don't give our tithes in reality in a certain way because that's already the Lord's. And to hold it back, we're stealing from God. And you can have a person today that's stealing from God because they're not giving their tithe, which is the Lord's already. The offerings is what we give out of our own hearts above the tithe. Unto the Lord. And these people, let me tell you, the Bible says, then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. But it all started after they prayed. And God brought them into a place where the king led the people in prayer. And he fell on his face before God and he cried unto God for to come. And God came, friend, and the fire fell. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the people fell on their faces in reverence and worship before God. And they broke out in praise. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And then, because their heart was right, they were glad to give unto the Lord. Oh, may God teach us today from His precious word to be led. And may we cry out, as the hymn writer said, 'Tis fire we want, for fire we plead. Send the fire. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire. For strength to ever do the right. For grace to conquer in the fight. For power to walk the world in white, Lord, send the fire. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that Thou hast brought us to this house to worship Thee this Sabbath morning, to give our tithes and offerings to Thee and to thank Thee with all our hearts for all the blessings that Thou hast given to us. Realize today that in Thee we live and move and have our being. We thank You for every good and perfect gift which comes alone from Thee. Most of all, we thank Thee for Thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and shed His blood for us upon the cross. And I pray today, if there be those that are not saved or wandered from Thee, that this day might be a day of working in their hearts by Thy Holy Spirit, day of melting, O God, a day of breaking, a day of repentance, will turn from sin to Thee. We pray, O God, for those who profess Thy name, let the fire fall on our hearts and consume the sacrifice. Help us, our God, to have done the things that displease thee. Help us, our God, to know the fire of purification. And Lord, for those that are downhearted and depressed, that they might be cheered on to victory, know the warmth of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, that we would be melted before thee. Oh God, today let the fire fall. Blessed Spirit of God, come again, we pray, to your church. Send us, ye bring to us a blessed revival. For Jesus' sake. Amen.